Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. I am Sean Ross Sapp. This is your AEW X New Japan Pro Wrestling Forbidden Door review for 2025. Oh my God. Again, welcome to Fightful. Lots to talk about here. Just finished up a 6-hour show, which it doesn't feel as long because it's an afternoon show, but listen, we're going to be answering your questions. Get those in with Super Chats and Humper Chats because we are streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, X, Twitch, Facebook, Kick, and a little bit of everywhere. We are on platforms everywhere. We're also on podcast platforms everywhere. Soon to be Blue Wire Podcasts. But if you are here right now, leave a thumbs up on that YouTube video. Drop a fruit emoji like Nicholas did right here. Or leave a comment at the end of the video. I'm going to come in and talk to all of you guys. But I've been talking to you guys today on FightfulSelect.com. That's what makes all of this possible. I know some of you say, why on earth would I pay for wrestling news? Trust me, in a world of misinformation, we have the best, most accurate, and the highest by volume wrestling news on the planet, FightfulSelect.com, just $5.99 a month. I know it's not in the cards for everybody. I get it. But you will get exclusive pro wrestling news delivered straight to your phone or your device. I will answer questions on those. I do Q&A articles every single day. I've got Q&A podcasts every single week. I'm going to be filming one tonight. We have Grapsody doing bonus Q&A shows every other week. We got another bonus post show on this from the Sour Graps gang over on Fightful Select, and then Discord access as well. $5.99 a month. You can also gift subscriptions. It would mean a lot to me personally if you did that. But if you're not about that, get in a super chat, get in a humper chat. We would greatly appreciate it. There is a lot to talk about and a lot of news that came from FightfulSelect.com. I am also happy to announce that those of you who watch our show regularly, I did it. I finished my story. I accomplished my dream. I procured personalized puppets for Alex and Kate. They will not be here until late October, but coming way sooner than that, the official Freddy Got Fingered review by Fightful, executive produced by Sean Ross Sapp. You will never see a more thorough review of Tom Green's 2001 film, Freddy Got Fingered, in your entire life. And I am counting on all of you to show up and support this. Listen, I don't know what this is of mine, but I'm executive producing it. I'm paying for it. I'm going to pop in, do some ad reads and some history. It's going to be a good time because I got to say, Alex reviewed Hot Rod, a movie that I loved. And he reviewed it in such a scathing manner, of which I disagreed with, but I still admired the review. So I am very interested in how he reviews this movie, of which I can't decide is just terrible or if it's actually performance art. I know many of you are here to talk about pro wrestling, so we're going to talk about that. But listen, sometimes you got to have that main event level performance. Sometimes I can't do a fingering segue there, guys. I can't do it. Can't be doing that here. Can't be doing it. I'll save it for later. Michael Allen Lewis says, we'll say very predictable finishes. Would have thought what we thought everyone we thought would win did win. That being said, fantastic show, AEW. I enjoyed the show. I enjoy the afternoon wrestling, certainly more than evening wrestling. WWE Raw tomorrow as well. I'm going to be there for that Sunday. There you go. Amos says, we're not getting the review through the eyes of the puppets. And no, hell no. That's a cop-out. So Alex and Kate want these puppets so they can review things as puppets that they don't want to review. Tough shit. I'm paying for these puppets. They're very expensive. So therefore, they're going to review this movie appropriately. So a couple of there are a lot of things also that I looked at and I'm like, this didn't make sense. There's a lot of stuff on the show that didn't make sense. There's a lot of really good wrestling as well. Also, a lot of announcers today. Shout out to Taz. Get well soon, Taz. But every announcer that wasn't Taz that has ever existed was on this show. Excalibur, Brian Danielson, who was great. Tony Schiavone, Ian Riccaboni, who was great. Walker Stewart of New Japan. How'd you all like him? I'm really interested in how you all feel about him. Jim Ross, occasionally Don Callis as well. But let's go through this. We had Yamura, El Desperado, and Paragon defeating Hechicero, Josh Alexander, and Crew. Don Callis does the intro there. Crew does not get enough credit for their cohesion as a team. Like, there's very little room for error in what it is that they do and the speed of which they conduct things. So I really like Leo Rush and Action Andretti. I think they need to find that thing that clicks, but honestly, they were what stood out to me the most on this entire show. We also had Ricochet and Gates of Agony defeating Michael Oku and Jet Speed. So I'll tell you what stood out to me in this match. Michael Oku taking one of the sickest, filthiest bumps I have ever seen in my entire life. He took a pounce over the top rope. I believe it was from Khan, and did a backflip and like landed on his shoulder head. Speedball posted a picture backstage and said, he's all right. Fightfulselect.com and our scoops thread today said that we heard he was doing okay. We have not heard that he is signed, for those that are asking. Ricochet is also bald as hell. He got slapped on the head. He's really leaned into that. But Gates of Agony getting the finish, but Ricochet getting the win, I think is very important. And Ricochet and Gates of Agony would pop up later, because I think you do have to kind of start threading them through an awful lot, because now they're starting to get wins. They're starting to be more imposing, and Ricochet is very clearly a good character. So that's what I want to see out of them. So them getting the win here made an awful lot of sense to me. Oh, something else that made sense to me. Megan Bain, Tekla, Julia Hart, Sky Blue getting the win against Chris Statlander, Willow Nightingale, Harley Cameron, Queen Aminata. This was really good. Really good. Van Twinblade says, nobody does puppets anymore. Harley said so. Also, a 10 out of 10 show. Death Riders have gone nuclear. I love it. The bastards are never going to be face again. I thought they were maybe kind of leaning into it, and we'll get to that. But Chris Statlander was a reason. That's why I read the super chat right now. We saw this cool segment on Collision where Chris Statlander is like, Young Bucks owe me $100,000 for this match I won, this $100,000 match. And they haven't given it to me. So John Moxley went in there and got it for her. And you're like, okay, that's an interesting wrinkle. That's a creative wrinkle that we haven't necessarily seen before. Like, we've seen people be like hired guns and all that. We haven't seen necessarily collectors, so to speak. So, Megan bases for Harley really well, too. when you've got somebody who's still a little young in the ring like that, you make sure you want somebody like that. Megan is fantastic. Willow pouncing people all over the place was really good. Tekla doing the dive. I feel like I say this every time that Tekla is on TV, but Tekla is one of those people who diehard Stardom fans, probably over the last year or so, were not like, oh yeah, Tekla. Like, they knew that she had something special and that she was, from a presentation standpoint, you know what you got there. But also, she's the type of person that when she came over, myself and many others were like, oh, all right, well, she's going to translate really, really well to American TV, North American TV, English speaking TV. She's got that something. You know how I've often mentioned, like, these wrestlers just, they got everything in the ring. They just need a little something to click. She's already got that thing that clicks. From a presentation standpoint, she's got it. She's got it. It's what I was waiting on for Queen Aminata for a while. And guess what? She's got it now too. Just really, really good. So later on, I love that they did this during the show. Aminata and Tekla brawl out. Now listen, I don't mean brawl out. I mean like brawled outside through the the ringside area. And I've always loved this. Just the idea of them beating the shit out of each other for hours on end is great. And I think translates really well to women because we don't see it as much. I always say that I like the Peter Griffin versus the chicken story. Because it's natural. And if you can't separate people, that's a natural way to build a fight. These two were so good at fighting each other that for a week and a half after their first match, it was like a lot of people asking me, do they have beef? Do they have heat? What's going on here? We've got them brawling out there. And Sky Blue and Julia Hart come out to help. And there's this fantastic camera shot. And I got to say, one of the things I criticize AEW the most is missing camera shots, lighting, all that. It all looked good today. But Tekla was doing the upside down spider crawl, and then Jamie Hayter's music hit. Now, you boys at FightfulSelect.com not only are going to have more on Jamie Hayter and her absence this week, but we had news like maybe a little bit before Jamie Hayter came out that she was expected back soon. We also had that in our exclusive Discord. But you need this. You're losing Swerve. You're losing Ospreay. You need a little bit of somebody else. Now, I'm going to talk about how the alignment goes, because pretty soon one of these champions is going to need a credible threat and might need to be toppled pretty soon. Kieran says, love the show. Wish Danielson could do commentary permanently. He added so much to ZSJ and Nigel. He added a lot in general. Like, he's a breath of fresh air. And I think that's good. I think that after so long, you hear a little bit of everybody's material, right? Like after a while of Pat McAfee or Corey Graves or Barrett, you hear what they've got. You can only hear Jerry Lawler scream puppies so many times, right? Like, you can only hear that so many times. So Bryan Danielson is a significant breath of fresh air to that as well. Also says, the setup for Jamie Hayter's return was well done. Here for her and Aminata as a pairing. Well, I know that Tony Khan had indicated that maybe he held off on tag titles. Pardon me. That he had held off on those because of injuries and a lot of stuff like that. But starting to stack them up, right? You're starting to stack these teams up. And I have long said, I don't want AEW women's tag titles. I want world tag titles. That way, if you need to defend them in ROH for a while, you don't have a spot for them on TV, do the program on ROH. Do something like that. And I would, if I were them, I would pause the ROH women's pure title. I don't think that is a necessity more than women's tag titles. I just don't think so. Now, hold on. Hader returning on a pre-show twice in the span of a year, something or nothing. Did you watch the show? Did you watch the show? I'm just asking. Did you watch the show? Because this wasn't on the pre-show. Hate to tell you. Great angle there. You had TK, Martha Hart, and Oge Hart announcing the 0-2 attendance record for wrestling. That's cool. You had the Ops defeating Bullet Club War Dogs. I love that Samoa Joe has made walking away a signature move. It's pretty fantastic. Shibata no selling, you know, listen, that's going to fire up that crowd. I do find it interesting. No David Finlay. And, okay. Somebody just asked, does David Finlay not exist in AEW? Usually you can kind of tell the people that Tony Khan prefers or doesn't prefer based on if they're on the AEW shows. And he's been on at least, he was on the January 5th show, which Evil was not. Evil was not on that show. But David Finlay has wrestled in AEW before, which is more than you can say for Evil. I'll have some good news or some interesting news on New Japan Pro Wrestling and some people near the top of New Japan Pro Wrestling on FightfulSelect.com as well. But I love how much the crowd loved Samoa Joe walking away. And I do always kind of keep my eye on who is it? Like, who is not appearing on? Like, listen, Yano's never been on an AEW show. Evil's never been on an AEW show. But David Finlay has. And that's before David Finlay got, like, improved significantly, right? Like, he was okay then. I'm not sitting here saying he was bad or anything, but man, he's markedly improved of late. And if you're looking to markedly improve your wiener game, use Blue Chew and the code Fightful. That's right. Sometimes to get into that forbidden door, you got to have main event performance and confidence to cross those seas. Blue Chew has you covered. Maybe you've been locked in a cage, so to speak, trying to break out. Well, Blue Chew is going to get you there. And with the code Fightful, you get your first shipment free. All you do is pay $5 shipping. You might say, Sean, this is awkward. Let's stop talking about this. Well, it's not going to be awkward when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code Fightful because you speak with their online physician, and if prescribed, it ships straight to your door. It just ships straight to your door, or I guess your post office box as well. But also to your man, sorry, I'm getting distracted by a lot of people in my chat asking me to fundraise right now, guys. Listen, until I have verified, I ain't fundraising for anybody. So please stop asking. Stop asking. I'm trying to fundraise for people's erectile dysfunction right now. Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Blue Chew and the code Fightful, that main event level performance. Maybe you've been sidelined for a while and you're looking for that push. Blue Chew will make sure that you get that push. Use the code Fightful. Yeah, guys, listen, I appreciate the fact that some of you guys are asking me to fundraise for somebody, but I need to verify said fundraiser before I'm like, yeah, let me do that right here. I cannot blindly do that. I can't. If I verify it, it's good to go. I'll consider everything like that. But I got a lot of people in the comments on Twitter asking about that. I understand, but I got to make sure because I'm not going to be subject to something that I haven't made sure is above board. Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. Cope and Cage back together. This is my childhood, man. One of my favorite teams of all time. Whew, man, this was, this hit me in the feels, man. One of my favorite teams of all time. Again, hit me right in the childhood here. When I was a kid, like my favorite wrestlers, go figure, Marty Jannetty and then Too Cold Scorpio. Well, by 99, both of those gentlemen were out of the public eye. And I was like, man, I need a new favorite wrestler. And I turned on WWF and I saw Edge and I thought he was cool as hell, man. And they just got cooler and cooler. Edge and Chris, I was downloading as a kid their promos on Napster, bro. I was finding audio files of Edge and Christian's promos just to listen to them. Now, they get the win here. And I got to say, I think that what AEW did here was really good how they transitioned, because Nick Wayne was unable to compete in this match due to a broken foot. And I spoke with Kip Sabian this week, and he said, man, I think that might be the best 20-year-old wrestler ever. And I always listen, or I remember hearing a Bruce Pritchard podcast, and he said, man, well, when you got to pull somebody from a match, we always like to over-deliver. And I felt like AEW over-delivered here. Killswitch, Luchasaurus, FightfulSelect.com reported late last year that he had a horrible health scare. Like, we're lucky to have him. And we reported about 4 months later that he was backstage at, I think, Revolution, and was in gear. We reported this weekend on FightfulSelect.com that he's actually been cleared for quite some time. And this is a physically imposing guy where, if you listen to the reactions very, very early on in Luchasaurus, Killswitch's AEW run, you'd be like, man, this guy is going to be something major. And he's done some cool stuff. He's won some things. So tag titles, TNT title, like, he's had a good career. But it's just great to see this man back. Also great to see Cope. I don't know about 5 months. I didn't say 5 months. I've said he was backstage at Revolution and he was dressed like he could do something, but he has been cleared for a couple months at least. Cope and Christian just spammed spears. You know what's funny? Like, when they were a tag team, like, my qualm with them was they didn't have like a big, big finish, right? They did the side slam into the reverse DDT, the falling reverse DDT. They did the stacked up superplex, all that. And then I see these two men at almost 50 years old or 50. And I'm like, they got better double team offense now than they did then. The pop-up spear was good. I loved when we had Sabian on Killswitch's shoulders and then Cope speared him. Now, they could have done that with Kip Sabian on Christian's shoulders as well. And I'm like, man, that could be just the finish. That could be their finish. Could have been their finish all along. For the love of God, I'm going to turn slow mode on for you guys, by the way. Let's do subscribers only, and let's do slow mode. There we go. I got you guys. While you're here, please share this link on social media. I can't tell you how important that is. Just spread the love. Spread the love. Yeah, listen, I see you guys. I see you guys. Let's look at Jesse coming out here like it's 2021, doing some mod work. You love to see it. We love Jesse here. And Zach Schimmel, buddy, this super chat, you didn't even apply a comment, brother. What? Come on now. Listen, we are, Fightful is almost completely funded publicly by Fightful Select and the few sponsors that we get. For anybody that's like, oh my God, they need those clicks, we don't make shit on the website side of things. In fact, our website's been halfway broken for a long time. So I greatly appreciate people donating like this. It means a lot. Listen, I hope you guys show up for that Freddy Got Fingered review. When I tell you guys the amount that I had to spend on those puppets that I think we will make back, It's going to be insane. Jesse, look at that. Demon Diva's here too. Listen, Demon Diva will throw you out immediately. She's still got the wrench in here too. She don't even like AEW, so she certainly don't like the fans. So she'll kick you out immediately. Who's repping Fightful at the Scrum? Shirley. She did our coverage in the UK, I want to say last year. Yeah. But I thought this was good. This was solid. They do the handshake at the end as well, which I think ended up going pretty well. Christian didn't want to hug Copeland, but this is spot number one that didn't make like a ton of sense to me. And it was like, why didn't they have the hug tonight and instead have the, oh, I don't know, type of thing a couple weeks ago? Now, FightfulSelect.com had been reporting that this had been in the cards for quite a while. FTR and Cope and Christian for Toronto has been in the cards for a while. And it did get slowed down a lot because Christian did want to flesh out the Nick Wayne stuff. And then, as it turns out, Nick Wayne got hurt, which absolutely sucks. Absolutely sucks. But solid match. Again, nothing unbelievable or anything. But I thought the theme of this show was pretty good all the way around. And even the matches that had things that didn't make sense, I still enjoyed the matches. Oh, Kyle Fletcher. My God, guys. So I spoke to this man recently. I think I've released this interview. Yeah, I've released this interview about his high pain threshold. Well, he put the pain on Hiromu Takahashi. Like, the first 75% of this match was just Kyle Fletcher beating the living shit out of Hiromu Takahashi. And this is one of the situations where I thought that Bryan Danielson's commentary was super great. He came along and he was like, you know, I realize people look at a body slam and they say, well, that's just a body slam. But his body slam is different. His body slam is special, and I'm going to tell you why. And I think sometimes you need that. Sometimes you just need somebody to explain to you why this move that you see over and over and over again is so beneficial to use. And Bryan Danielson did that to a phenomenal degree. Zach Schimmel gifted 5 Fightful Wrestling memberships. We have a bunch of members-only videos here on YouTube, but you can also gift Fightful Select memberships, which is what I always prefer. But I appreciate Zach Schimmel. He's the man. Zach Schimmel has helped me a ton of times. But, man, Fletcher beat the shit out of Hiromu Takahashi. And Hiromu Takahashi is also one of those talent that translates really well to American TV. Now, granted, it's a little bit better when he had the stuffed animal. God, why is it? Daryl. When he had Daryl with him, boy, that would have been a hit today in this puppet culture. And I'm not talking about just here at Fightful. I'm talking about like in wrestling with Demonito and Mercedes Muppet and the Iguana. Buddy, Daryl would have been enormous. Daryl was ahead of his time. Way ahead of his time. But Walker Stewart was on commentary during this. He was fantastic. The finish of this was also very good. Kyle Fletcher, we already know he's going to be one of the guys. We know Takeshita is going to be one of the guys. This period is going to be a big theme of this show. Who is going to step up? Because this fall and this winter is going to be a really, really, really important period for AEW. Very important. Tell you what else is important. Mercedes Moné holding 1,400 championships. I really thought that after she lost to Tony that she would start losing the championships. But listen, I talked to these promoters or some of these promoters that booked Mercedes in the weeds. On Fightful Overbooked, had Andy on from Rev Pro, who was talking about the benefit of Mercedes, said that she doesn't have creative control, said that no money changes hands from AEW to Rev Pro. As it turns out, she is just a very, very good wrestler and a good draw. And I really enjoyed this match because, first off, you know Persephone is somebody that NXT is going to chomp at the bits for. Bazilla is somebody that Tony Khan has wanted for quite some time. I'm told at FightfulSelect.com that he put in that request quite a while back. And I did have people saying, well, what about Persephone? Like, you think NXT is going to come grab her? What I was told last year is after the Stephanie Vakeur thing, which AEW did want her. They did try to get her. But she had her mind made up. Her CMLL deal was already up. I was told and reported on FightfulSelect.com that they were likely going to take measures to make sure that something like that doesn't happen. Or if it does, they're going to be prepared for it. So I don't think we're going to see Persephone immediately go on over to NXT, but I think you're probably going to see Persephone on CMLL quite a bit. This is the type of match where I think that Forbidden Door really benefits because you've got a brand new talent in Alex Windsor, brand new to AEW in her home country, who has been portrayed as on the level, right? She was just in a match with Mercedes, Tony, Athena, the three most protected women in AEW ROH history. And belonged. And here she is with top representatives from CMLL, from Stardom, from AEW, looking like she belongs. Bazilla, a lot of people got their first look at her here. That moonsault was incredible. Persephone with the razor's edge on Bazilla, phenomenal spot. Great spot. I love the double crucifix that went into the Money Maker. And then, of course, you have the obligatory Fatal 4-Way Women's Tower of Doom. Listen, another dove cries. If there's one spot I hate in pro wrestling, okay, two spots I hate in pro wrestling. I always hate the wait for somebody to sit up, stomp, especially the way Del Rio does it. It's stupid. But the Women's Tower of Doom spot. But listen, all things considered, it was a very cool Tower of Doom spot, and the crowd loved it, so what the hell do I know, right? Brian more or less says was disappointed at Brian no-selling Bazilla, locking in the bear hug. I mean, I felt like Persephone could have sold it a little bit more as well, and it looked like it was more to set up the next spot. But Parker says, out of Monet, Tony, and Okada, who loses their title first and who beats them? Well, I think Okada probably holds the unified title for a while as to help establish how important that title is. Tony is the hot hand right now. Tony right now is, to me, where Gunther was with the IC title and the UK title, where Roman Reigns was with the world title. And by that, I mean TBD. When people would ask me, who's going to beat Gunther for the IC title? Who's going to beat Roman for the world title? For like a long time, I said, my legit answer is TBD. So whoever comes along and you go, oh, well, it needs to be her, then that's who it should be. I had mentioned I would love to see Tony Storm do like a Curse of Tony thing where people start losing and you capitalize off of the promo that she cut on Mariah, which, listen, I hate to kick Mariah like that, but it's something that would get buzz. And Athena, which we'll talk about later, could go on and lose her championship too. After the thousand days, when is that? When will she hit 1,000 days? Producer Luis, please help me. Shout out to Luis for helping me out in the chat with all the super chats. Ibu Mania says, Sean, I do believe that WWE would have the manpower to make a move for Persephone, considering, given she has no obligations to Japan like Stephanie did, I think it's a little bit more easier for them to maneuver to get her. Well, I mean, Stephanie's contract was up. Okay, October. Yeah, oh, you know what? You could say, I'm getting conflicting info here. I gotta stop listening to you all in the chat, and I gotta stop stuttering too. But I think that AEW is going to take protections in order to prevent such a thing from occurring. Yeah, Athena's 18 days away or something like that. Like, she's a couple weeks away. So, yeah, you could absolutely. There you go. There you go, Luis. You tell him. You tell him, Luis. Shut up. He's got it.
That's right. He says it's 11 days. Thought this was a good match. Thought this was a very good match. I'll tell you what's a good match. You going to MyBookieAG, getting that $50 bonus and a $100 deposit or a $100 deposit on a $100 bonus on $200 deposit. There we go. You're getting free money. That's what I'm telling you, by God. Listen, it's been a long day. Go bet on pro wrestling over there at MyBookie. I'm going to get them to add AEW lines. Told them I'm helped them with that, but they had WWE and AAA. And our boy Luis said, hey, you need to bet on Wagner last week. And if you all did it, you made a little bit of money. You can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. Score 100% bet back bonus up to $500 for new customers. It is college football season. It's NFL season. About to be WNBA playoff season. Baseball's getting down to the wire. Basketball will be here before you know it. Get a up to $500 bet back bonus, 150% casino bonus up to $750. You can bet with Bitcoin. You can play their table games, the live casino, the slot games. You can bet on a little bit of anything. And their social media game is crazy. Go follow them on Instagram and then either thank me or curse at me later on. MyBookie AG, want to thank them so much. They are the exclusive odds provider of Fightful and FightfulSelect.com. Check them out. Please only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly over at MyBookie AG. Heavy Metal Chris says, or sends a Humper Chat and says, it's nice to have a pay-per-view finish at 10:30 rather than start at 1 a.m. for a change. Oh, well, you're in the UK, yeah? Well, let me tell you, it's nice to have one end at 5:30 for me. I'm pretty excited about that, buddy. Do we know if the finish was botched as far as winners concerning for the tag titles? Mm-mm. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Wasn't botched. Any truth that Jack Perry was the one injecting Killswitch in the return video? FightfulSelect.com plug. Listen, all this stuff y'all are missing out on over here. We had reported about 4 weeks ago that I had heard that he would be headed back or the wheels would be in motion for him heading back within a month. And it has been within a month. I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just saying. Damn, Zack Sabre Jr., Nigel McGuinness. This match humped. Absolutely humped. You had Daniel Garcia out there with Nigel. But you also had a Johnny Saint video that I just loved. And listen, Nigel was not going to win this match. And I mean, you know, listen, I could see them having him win it and then drop it right back. I could see that with almost any title these days. But providing this video with Johnny Saint before Nigel goes out there and has his old theme music and puts on this incredible match, which he's a semi-active wrestler now, which is really incredible. There was a line at the end of this where they're playing chess and Nigel McGuinness gets a checkmate on Johnny Saint that hit me close to home. Johnny Saint, who was, you know, a trainee of the great Billy Robinson, who trained my coaches, trained my teammates. One of the things that got burned into my brain and gets burned into anybody's brain when they trained with Billy Robinson was do it again. And I get the visions of my catch wrestling coach half hatch suplexing me like 32 times in a row while Billy Robinson like will slap you in the leg with his cane and be like, no, this is what you got. This is what you're doing wrong. It is almost commonplace within the world of catch wrestling to hear that over and over and over again. Now, I don't know if there's any significance to that for just a happy accident, but it put me in my feels. Damn it. Put me in my feels. I'll tell you what else put me in my feels. Ooh boy, do I love this shit. This is that shit I like. I think maybe 2 weeks ago, I was on the podcast talking about how I wanted to see more psychology, especially within the world of like American TV wrestling, of submissions and blocking transitions to submissions. So first off, Zack Sabre Jr. had this phenomenal, it was like a flying triangle that was a bait into a flying, into an arm bar. So what you do there is you bring him down with a flying triangle and then you roll him through. And while he's going to block the flying triangle, you transition over into the arm bar. So if you are getting arm barred, what you try to do is grab your own hand. And then what you want to do is roll towards where you're getting arm barred. Now you might say, why do you do that? Because you want to stack your opponent. When you stack your opponent, it is pinning their shoulders to the mat and it's alleviating all the pressure. That way you don't hyperextend it like that. So you are bending your elbow, you're rolling towards them, you stack your weight on their legs and you try to take away as much power in their legs as possible. So during this, Zack Sabre Jr. was sort of feigning, but also kind of going for, I saw people say that's an ankle lock. Yes, it does affect the ankle, but the appropriate name for it in catch wrestling is a toe hold. And it is the old Kurt Angle, Ken Shamrock ankle lock, but it's a toe hold. You grab the toe, you hold the toe. So he was doing that while also working on the arm bar. And it wasn't just for show. The reason you do that is because if you are on the bottom of an arm bar, you want to kick out. So if you go back and watch Ronda Rousey videos, you'll see her like hooking the leg and you'll be like, why is she hooking the leg on a submission arm bar attempt? It's because when you kick your body, you're trying to rock and get that momentum so you can stack the opponent. So this was him saying, if you kick your feet, I'm just going to rip your ankle off and I'll transition to that. So you better just battle the arm bar and go with it. It was fantastic shit. That shit I like. I also get a great deal of joy seeing Zack Sabre Jr. taking bumps on his face. Like a guy has no regard for his own face, man. None whatsoever. Just took lariats and just looking like Taka Michinoku getting eliminated from the Royal Rumble in 2000. Just incredible stuff, man. Incredible. Love it. Love it. This dog likes Shakespeare. What can I say? Zack Sabre Jr. wins. You got Daniel Garcia supporting him afterwards as well. Just incredible. Oh, boy. Brodito win the tag team championships in what I was led to believe was some sort of elimination tag team match. Are we of the agreement that this was at one point promoted as an elimination tag team match, or am I crazy? Because I know some of the participants thought it was an elimination tag team match at some point. Now, to be clear, good match. The tweet promoting the match said elimination tag match. If you wanted to do this finish, simply don't promote it as an elimination tag team match. Now, listen, I have fielded so much dumb bullshit from people since I made this report a couple weeks ago. And Jay Cup had actually talked about it as well. I had reported, and a lot of it was misconstrued. So we'll talk about it right now. FightfulSelect.com, $5.99 a month. I've been hearing for months about who MVP and Hurt Syndicate preferred to lose to, wanted to, didn't want to, all that. I saw some people say creative control. Creative control's in a contract. You also have free will and a company that's like, well, we can get around it. It's not real. But this was lame as shit. And I know this isn't the way that any of the other teams would have wanted this to happen in the match. I was told a month and a half ago, don't be surprised when this ends up a triple threat.
And the triple threat was to at least make sense of some of this stuff that wasn't going to make sense. Now, specifically, I'll be clear. Like, there were things we had reported, like MVP wasn't keen on speedball, didn't want Hurt Syndicate losing to speedball and Kevin Knight. Now, I want to be clear. I never heard they were going to. Heard that they preferred to lose to the Outrunners, Gates of Agony, and Private Party, of whom they have already beaten. That they gave Private Party the advice, get in the gym. And apparently Private Party's doing it. They look great. But their deals are supposed to be up soon. Now, everybody's got people they would prefer to lose to and all that. That's not crazy. And I don't think that the booking of Hurt Syndicate has been bad. I saw a lot of people say, well, because you reported that, you hate their booking. No. I think that Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin should be booked as dominant. I probably wouldn't have them take a pin if I could avoid it. Like, they're fantastic. I think you need dominant teams like that. But interesting, there is no MVP out here tonight. Why is there no MVP? Where's he at? He can go to England. He's been there 24 times. Been there a bunch. TNA, WWE, Indies. Listen, Fightful kept saying it was in the tweet, Jeffrey. The tweet, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, the tweet, Jeff. I didn't cook that up. I didn't invent that. I didn't write that. Now, I will say I'm very happy that MVP and Speedball did that skit where they made light of MVP not liking Speedball. Because, listen, that is a big red flag. And there's a lot of stuff that, you know, I've talked to MVP directly about. It ain't a secret. We spoke about it in front of a bunch of people at Squared Circle Expo. Like, we've had a lot of these conversations in person. I've met MVP a number of times. And he is one of the realest human beings there is. If he has a problem with you, your work, something you've said, something you reported, he will make sure you know about it. But I'm interested to learn why he wasn't at this show. And first off, hope everything is okay personally, because that's, you know, don't know. You, there's a lot of things that could prevent somebody from being there, right? And I just hope it's nothing like physical, family, anything like that, because that would suck. But to go masked assailants that end up being Gates of Agony and Ricochet in an elimination match, that didn't make any sense. Didn't make any sense. So let's talk about the actual match. Brody King and Lashley have a face-off that gets an incredible reaction.
Saving money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. You know what? I think that's worth pausing and talking about right now. We are about to hit a very important part of AEW history. Kenny Omega's status is a little bit unclear. Will Ospreay clearly getting written off. You got Swerve getting written off. And you need people to stand up. You need people to step forward. Brodito just won the tag team titles, but Brody King is so very clearly a guy that the audience loves. They bark for him. They chant for him. They react to him. He got face-to-face with Bobby Lashley. They loved him. As of right now, when I think who should win the Continental Classic, my answer is Brody King. Brody King has that. He can deliver in the ring. He's got a special kind of charisma. The crowd loves him. It's like he's like one of them. Just really, really that guy. And Bandido doing what he does ain't far off, right? Like, he's got that special kind of charisma as well. But to me, Brody King should be one of the next guys in the absence of Ospreay, in the absence of Swerve, and we don't know about Omega right now. But AEW did such a good job building Hangman, Omega, Ospreay, Swerve as like this, these four pillars of babyface. The now two and maybe two of those pillars are gone. And one of those pillars is like, I'm trying to hold it up right now, but just really, really great. Parker Hines says Brody King needs a singles championship. I'm ready to see where this tag team thing goes first, but I get the feeling maybe they'll drop it to FTR pretty soon. Brian more or less says meet. I want a Meat Madness tournament too. The world wants that. So the Brody Lashley standoff was great. And then that spine buster happened and Brody stood up. Now I you got to say this, the mere idea that Bobby Lashley was okay with that speaks volumes about how he views Brody King, I think. There was also a spot where Brody clocked Dash, and Dash sells it amazingly. And they get the chair shot to the head, which I know a lot of people are like, oh, damn, a chair shot to the head. I'm never keen on them. Never keen on them, but AEW always does a really good job of like, protecting people with those. And by that, I mean they shaved down the seat. Sorry, I was reading the tweet Brody sent me. He says, could have used the pictures at least from AEW. But thank you. I appreciate that. I should find the most obscure Brody picture and use that. But we got a guy that's very clearly viewed highly in the locker room. And is very clearly like a guy. The finish was also kind of weird too. Because like Dax didn't kick out, but the ref stopped the count. There was a lot of like bad reffing in this show. Jeff says, if there's a meat match, that's where Danhausen can be used since he's billed as what? 1.5 tons? Man, that's another thing. Like, if you're not going to use Danhausen and he wants to go, let him go, man. And it's not just like, oh, well, he's asking for his release. He fulfilled his contract. And then they just extended it due to injury time. That's just a waste of money if you're not going to use him. That's just being petty. Or just use him. They had him pop up at ROH and then never brought him back. He was hitting him up. When am I supposed to come to work? I don't know. All right, cool. So basically he's getting paid a guarantee to just go out and still do the same indies. It's just he has limited merch opportunities and can't sign with WWE, assuming they would want him, which if you believe the reports out there that apparently The Rock is a big fan of his, go figure. Oh, man. But the reffing was, there was some weird reffing tonight, for sure. Roderick says, love the tag match, but Brian Danielson's finally said it. My problem, biggest problem with the triple threat matches, why don't they just rush in? It's no DQ. Wait for a tag. Drives me nuts. The only thing that would affect is the legal man in that situation. Tagging makes people legal. So you can rush in. There's no DQ. It's just a matter of who's legal and who isn't legal. And if you don't really care that much about that, just make it a Texas Tornado triple threat match. You know what I mean? Or make it all elimination. That way Because in elimination, ideally, it's not supposed to be no DQ. So let's break that down. If you've got a triple threat or fatal four-way elimination match, that should not mean a no DQ match. And you might say, Sean, why is that? Well, because you can be eliminated. The reason it's no DQ in traditional triple threat and fatal four ways is because that wouldn't be fair to anybody if, like, you just had somebody run in and get you DQ'd and manipulate the system, right? So that's why eliminations should still have those. I just feel like we've lost the plot somewhere. Daniel Zambrano says, honestly, kept all the backstage noise to a minimum for this pay-per-view, and this tag match went down great for me. Thanks for all your awesome work, Sean. Well, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate that. N. Simmons says the ending had to set. Actually, that is for a completely different match there. Don't know why that's there. But yeah, if it was a Texas Tornado triple threat match, we'd feel a bit better about this. Know what I mean? Unusual. Okada defeated Swerve Strickland. Swerve had the Mr. Terrific gear. And buddy, they worked the knee. So FightfulSelect.com. Best $5.99 a month in the business. I feel like we've reported a lot of stuff lately. You all should just subscribe. Just subscribe. We reported this week that the injury to Swerve was not just a thing that was brought up just for the match. Like, man's hurt. In fact, we found out that he had been working on a torn meniscus since 2019, since he was at the Performance Center. He had a couple weeks off TV. Then they brought him back. Or I think it was 4 weeks off TV. They brought him back and it never properly healed. And now it's time to go get it healed. And from what I had reported, he also is, first off, is getting help with the Jags, but he was going to take time off after All In. But because everybody else had to take time off, Omega and Ospreay, he hung around for a little bit longer. But they worked the hell out of it. And this was, honestly, a masterclass of selling an injury and working it and all that, and him finding out how important his knee is to him within the context of kayfabe and this show and what we saw here. And when I see this match, I they're going to capitalize on that. You know that he's getting written off after the match, and that is what happens. But you're like, man, Swerve is still out there putting on incredible matches on like one good knee and has been for a long time. Has been for a very, very long time. I loved dropping the knee across the top rope. I like the DDT on the stairs too. And Swerve went flying into the cameraman. But I mean, House Call continues to be one of the smoothest moves I've ever seen. I remember seeing him. I feel like he used it as a setup or something. And I was like, man, that is finisher quality, buddy. That is finisher quality. Bryan Danielson did a really good job of selling that this type of injury really affects your strike strength as well. Okada hit that tombstone on the floor that was filthy, but then the Rainmaker gets it. Great way to help establish this unified title as a top title by having one of the most over wrestlers in the world get beat clean, then written off afterwards. And Okada beats the shit out of Swerve. Tears up that leg, tears up that knee. Prince Nana runs out. Then we get a return. A gentleman that has been reported about quite a bit at FightfulSelect.com. We'd reported he was backstage at AEW Revolution, had a meeting with Tony Khan, of which they determined, hey, you're about to be on this show that FightfulSelect.com reported on, American Gladiators. It doesn't make sense for us to bring you back right now because of that, so we will afterwards. And now is afterwards. Now, I saw this man with my own eyes in town at AEW All In. He didn't have to be there for the call time with everybody else, but he's been around a bit lately. Wardlow is back, beats the brakes off of Prince Nana, and then joins the Don Callis family. So listen, they could have just set the O2 wrestling record by just inviting the Don Callis family. Because right now you got what, Fletcher, you got Archer, you got Josh Alexander, you got Takeshita, and you got Wardlow. That is a lot of meat. That's a lot of lean beef, buddy. That is a ton. Now, let's talk about my qualms here. My qualms are that Wardlow gets put with a group again. Wardlow, who had been in the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle and what, Undisputed Kingdom and Don Callis family. It's like, okay. I don't think he needs that. In fact, given the disparity on the babyface heel side, I would have had Wardlow come back in as a babyface, probably have him go after MJF, to be honest with you. Because why should he not have an issue with him? And Dex mentions that Don has the number 2 and 3 men's championships in AEW and the winner of the G1. When was Wardlow in the Inner Circle? From about November of 2020 till about March of 2021. So this is all right. Brian more or less says, crazy how we had 4 top babyfaces going into All In, only having one of them. This is AEW to justify their roster size. Yeah, and you don't have to have, I mean, still they had people work through some stuff. But like, Takeshita is such a good shit heel, but it's clear that he is probably the next guy to fall into the Don Callis vortex, right? And feud with all the people that leads to him and Okada, right? I think who beats Okada for the title? I think it's Takeshita. So I think that Takeshita becomes a babyface, probably runs through these guys, and then, like, listen, they're talking, you want to talk about the biggest match you can do? You want to talk about a big match you can do? Here it is. Takeshita has said that he wants to win, he wants to carry the IWGP Championship into Tokyo Dome. You're with me already, right? You're with me? What's the biggest match they can do at the Tokyo Dome? They can do Takeshita as G1 winner, IWGP Champion, against the AEW Unified Champion, returning home. Takeshita versus Okada. Winner take all. And I know New Japan needs to build new faces, but they suck at it these last few years. They've been bad at it lately. Do it. Do it. Trust me. New Japan will take to Takeshita. Any idea how long Swerve and Ospreay are out in terms of how long the theories or surgeries they may need to heal and rehab? I would be surprised if we saw Swerve back until the end of the year. Because that's going to take a few months. Healing up, rehabbing, all that. Ospreay, it's a TBD. So, how do I put this? FightfulSelect.com, another report, another plug. Please, for love of God, subscribe. And yes, I do know the Super Jake Cassidy have a stroke. I understand a lot of people wouldn't be cool with that, but what else are you going to do? New Japan hasn't been good at this lately. So, Ospreay. I haven't heard him say anywhere, I am having surgery. And I know a lot of you are saying, He said scalpel. He said my surgeon. People I've talked to that have asked him, said, when you having surgery? He ain't said shit to him. He ain't said shit to him. He's hinted at it a lot. Hinted at it a lot. He was cleared for this match, to be clear. Like, to be cleared. He was cleared for this match. But he's very clearly hurting. I've used the term clear a lot. That's very redundant. But listen, if he was like Edge Fusion level, they would not clear him for this match. They wouldn't let him bump if that was the case. So that is a TBD because I think they're going to play it very close to the vest. I think there's going to be a lot of conflicting information out there regarding Will Ospreay. Would I be surprised if we saw him back this year? Yes. I would imagine Swerve and Ospreay are probably out through the end of the year. Brian more or less says, always hate the only two men in a triple threat tag. Yeah, that also doesn't make sense. Because how can anybody be, you know, just, you can just freeze out an entire team that way, right? Is it likely that Persephone receives a call by WWE? Probably, but I think it's also likely that she is under a contract. I'll ask Luis to check on that that Bazilla super chat for accuracy and verification and all that. Heavy Metal Chris says, just gone through all their posts over the last few days. No mention of an elimination. Why are you trying to gaslight us, Sean? Luis says, look for AEW's tweet from Wednesday. And by the way, participants in the match thought it was elimination this week. Bitch. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Thank you for the super chat. But you know what? I'll pull it up. Oh, goddamn. That wasn't difficult. That wasn't difficult at all. Look at this. Riddle me this. Y'all better be super chatting your little asses off. Accusing me of gaslighting? Meltdown, baby. Meltdown incoming. I'm running a stream and still found this. You better send an apology, Heavy Metal Chris. Oh, look at this. Live on pay-per-view, 1 p.m. Eastern, this Sunday, August 24th, AEW World Tag Team Title Elimination Match. The Hurt Syndicate versus FTR versus Brodito. After the epic time limit draw on Dynamite, FTR and Brodito challenge Fight Bobby and Shelty B 803. Tune in to Forbidden Door and the Elimination Match, you son of a bitch! It was advertised as an elimination match. Bam, 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 bam. Where you at, Heavy Metal Chris? You're more like Jethro Tull now. They won a Heavy Metal Grammy. Shadow is a fan of Bozilla. Ibu Mania says, if I'm correct, Bozilla's father, Ulf Herman, is a WWE scout. I do assume that he was at Forbidden Door. I mean, they're not going to just invite a WWE scout. Is he a WWE scout? I think he has been reported as a scout before. You know what? I know that he was with Jim Smallman at the WXW show, and Corey had implied he was a scout. So I'll dig into it.
AEW Women's World Championship. Toni Storm defeated Athena. I love that Toni Storm immediately did a Storm Zero. Immediately did a Storm Zero to Billy and got her the hell out of there. If you had any questions, who was the queen shit in AEW? It has been made clear this year. She won the championship back off of Mariah May, sent her packing. She ended the unbeaten streak of Mercedes Moné. And then she pins Athena. Because the TBS title, ROH title, world title have been booked very dominantly. And I do think that Athena needs to come off that title soon. I just wouldn't do it like next weekend, because I would think you should get to 1,000. But I think it is time for some movement in some of the other championships, because it's going to be difficult for Tekla, for Jamie Hayter, for Queen Amanada to rise up if you've got all three top titles in a like dominant fashion. So I think that they really do need, first of all, I think they needed a mid-card championship, because they got three world championships. Eventually, the TBS championship will become that sort of mid-card-ish championship. But Mercedes has held that with such dominance, as did Jade before, that people had kind of saw it as 1B. The ROH World Championship, I mean, that should be around no matter what. If ROH ceases to exist, it should be like the NWA World Championship. It should just always be around because of the cachet of the company that existed. And it still technically does. But Noise says, love Tony. Not sure why Athena didn't win. I guess Willow or Statlander dethroning her later this year. I think it should be one of them. I think that Chris Statlander with the Death Riders by their side would be pretty good. I think that would be a good one. I love the finish. Flipping up Athena, going in the headbutt, going into the Storm Zero. There was also a spot I liked where the LED board had stopped working, and then Tony throws, or somebody got thrown into it, and it made it start working again. You ever have to take a shoe to the side of your old box TV? Get that thing working? That's what they did there. But the AEW Women's Division is in a very promising place, but I do think there needs to be some realignment. Mercedes losing the TBS championship and it becoming an upper mid-card title, I think is very important to the growth of this division. I do think that Tony probably loses it to somebody like Chris Statlander with Death Riders along the way. I do not want the ROH Women's Pure title. We don't need four women's titles, including the interim TV title on ROH. If you want to do the ROH Women's TV title, sure, whatever. But Women's World Tag titles, this division needs it. Very much needs it. They had a fantastic match, as one would expect. I thought they did a great job. Athena's on her shit, man. Like, she's been phenomenal. Phenomenal. Hangman Adam Page defeated MJF to retain the Men's World Championship. So, phenomenal in-ring wrestling that I thought was massively overbooked. Really terrible reffing. I thought there were elements of this that insulted the viewer. Because we were given this thing where MJF, first off, threatened to murder
Mark Briscoe. We should have Mark Briscoe at least saying, man, he was bluffing. You shouldn't have done that. You had, well, it's title can change hands via DQ or count out. Then we see somebody get drop toe holded into a chair. Great spot. Loved it. Beautiful spot. We see somebody get thrown into the stairs. We see somebody get dead-eyed through a table. We see somebody get tombstoned on a broken table. And those are all things that the ref should have seen as well. Bryce Remsburg, the referee, should have seen all these as well. We saw them. Now, there are also things, ripping the turnbuckle off, the low blow, getting cracked with the contract that the ref didn't see. But at that point, I'm sitting there saying, why did Hangman even do that behind the ref's back? Because clearly he didn't give a shit. This is why I have said you need to have referees with tendencies and personalities and mentioned on commentary. Brian Danielson said, I think that Bryce Remsburg is going to exercise a little bit of discretion here, which is good. But he exercised complete discretion. The way that he ref this, there was no consistency. And listen, he doesn't write the match. Bryce Remsburg doesn't write the match. And I want to be very clear about this, guys. Like, do you all think that Bryce Remsburg went to Tony Khan, the producer of this match, MJF and Hangman, and said, so here's what I'm going to do, and if you all say no, I'm going into business for myself. No, he's doing what he was told to do. So I don't think you should be putting this on Bryce. Like, it ain't his fault. This ain't real. He didn't write the match. But there was a spot where there's a three count, a foot on the rope, a whole bunch of shit happens, including a run-in. And then he comes back and he's like, well, that foot is on the rope now. An entire Olympics opening ceremony happened between the time that Bryce counted the three and that he called the foot on the rope. Why'd Mark Briscoe even try to do that? Like, we're supposed to believe that Bryce Remsburg didn't at some point hear the music of Mark Briscoe, reach for the sky, boys. And Remsburg's just like, oh, damn. Damn. All right, then. So much of this didn't make sense, which is a shame. And unfortunately, this is, you know, a bit of a trend with MJF matches, and he doesn't need it because the man is, I will say this repeatedly, one of the best television wrestlers there is. He's so good. There is nothing he can't do. Michael Allen Lewis says, thought per MJF it was no DQ. No, it was title changes hands on a DQ. N. Simmons says, thought the three count was abysmal by the ref. MJF should be livid. The blood and guts chat was about the tag team match. Don't understand the interference by Ricochet and GOA if it's not for that match. Ugh. I mean, that will tie into it, but I think that was to get the Hurt Syndicate involved in something else, because the Hurt Syndicate has been wanting to work with GOA and Ricochet based on what I've heard. That's what I think. I don't know if it's going to be blood and guts. I don't know if anybody there wants to deal with trying to navigate all those, all the possibilities of who's going to lose, who's not going to lose when in that. But like, guys, I want to make this clear. Bryce Remsburg doesn't write the match. This got through performers. This got through producers. And this got through Tony Khan. And everybody somehow said it was okay. There were so many things in this match that didn't make sense to me. and I still thought it was an enjoyable match. But there were a lot of things that didn't quite make sense to me in this. N. Simmons says the ending had to set up for Blood and Guts with Team Hangman and Team MJF because I can't see any other reason to do this. Yeah, because I don't think it can. I mean, what? I feel like Death Riders are still prime for Blood and Guts, man, if they do that. Like, I'm like, man, how can you not do Blood and Guts with Death Riders still, you know? Brian Moore less says, this got through Mercedes Monet. Bryce is fine. I'll tell you what, man. MJF is absolutely killing it in CMLL, too. Jesus Christ. He is perfect for CMLL. They were, man, they're drawing big houses with him. There was, you know, the contract, man, Hangman clocked him with that contract. That was good. Some spots that were really good. The tombstone on the table was good. Listen, you know, I'm a drop toe hold guy. Loved that. The low blow, setting up all that stuff. Then Hangman used the contract, dead eye, and buckshot lariat. But I'm like, how were there no DQs? Heavy Metal Chris says, that was just their Twitter guy getting it wrong. Nothing on the graphic. I do love you getting fired up. Now, listen, I want to say this. That is an actual possibility. That is something that very well could have happened, and I'm not joking. There is a real, genuine possibility that that was an error. But all they had to do was say that at some point in the last 4 days, delete the tweet, repost the tweet. You know what I mean? Like, oh man, how'd you all watch this show? How are y'all watching ESPN Unlimited pretty soon? They're making that pretty difficult, right? I tried to sign up for Hulu Live TV and get a Disney bundle, Hulu bundle, and ESPN Unlimited bundle. And that, like, Disney still hasn't called me back. It's a pain. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the same thing I did today. I'm going to use NordVPN.com/Fightful. Best time to become a NordVPN.com/Fightful subscriber right now. If you've got Netflix, which, listen, almost everybody does, you download NordVPN.com/Fightful. You get a great deal. It's like $2-3 a month. 30-day money-back guarantee. And you're going to be able to watch all the WWE content on Netflix. You might say, Sean, surely they'll block that. They don't. They don't. Netflix is just like, give us your subscription, please, wrestling fans. So you change your virtual location on any device, phone, laptop, desktop, PC, router, smart TV, all that stuff. Change it to something foreign. Log into your Netflix. You got access to Raw, SmackDown, NXT, all that stuff. You might say, well, how's that? I don't care. I watch AEW. Get your pay-per-views half off. Change your virtual location. Pay the price they're paying overseas. You're like, listen, I'm a TNA stan. I'm just here to hear what's going on with AEW. Works for them too. UFC for the time being until that new deal starts. Same with them. Bare knuckle boxing, got it for them. Hey, maybe you're traveling to Europe right now. Maybe you're going to Canada next month. Maybe you're going to Paris this week. Lots of stuff there. But you might say, oh man, I can't watch football while I'm over there. You can with NordVPN.com/Fightful. If you use NordVPN.com/Fightful, tell us in the chat. Great deal. They've also, this is just the basic tier that I'm telling you guys about. They got a password manager, file encryption tool, a threat protection pro, all that good stuff. I was able to watch one of the CMLL shows Monday or Sunday on time with NordVPN.com/Fightful. I love it. Also love this cage match. Listen, you are not going to see me breaking down a lot of technique in this one, but Darby Allin, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Will Ospreay,
and the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi, defeated Gabe Kidd and the Death Riders, which I think Gabe Kidd's just in the Death Riders now. Vicky, our good friend, says, bet my Stitches number beats Darby's. Darby got carved in the ear with a fork. Yuck. Yuck. But let's talk about the intros. You had this great Will Ospreay video voiced by Alex Windsor, which you knew, you know, meant something to him. Very special. Very, very special. But also, you had the Young Bucks entrance. And before this match, they went to production and they said, if you screw with us again, if you keep trolling us, we've had enough. You're going to get it. So you better have the best weapons for us. Our entrance better be right. Our original theme song. Well, they got their original theme song. And as it turns out, their original theme song was M-Bop by Hanson, of which the audience just loved. If they come out to M-Bop by Hanson, the crowd is going to cheer them. They brought back a video upload on Being the Elite, their first one in almost a couple of years. Listen, I think eventually this is a catalyst for the Young Bucks to turn babyface. They're having to get back to their roots. They're going to have to be fun again. Great entrance. Great entrance. Trash Can Moonsault by Kenny. I love it anytime I see him do that. That is such a cheap pop for me. But the Young Bucks did the SRS Shaza spot. Let me tell you, boys. Did a match with Shaza McKenzie a couple years ago, and I said that Shaza got to pick the weapons. So I go and I go get my thumbtacks, and I pour them all over the ring, and there's candy corn in there. Oh. Not candy corn. That's gross. Oh, no. And I'm in Chicago, so I go put her up for the go to sleep, and she's got a handful of candy corn, shoves it in my mouth. And I got to be honest with you. I got hit by a cane a bunch of times. She kicked me in the face legitimately, repeatedly. I went through a door. The worst part of that was being in that match, wanting water and getting a mouthful of candy corn. Legitimately the worst part of that match. But they did it with gummy bears. And, like, listen, it would have been good if they were, like, edibles or something. They could have been hallucinating by the end of the match. But they also shoved gummy bears in the mouth and did the kick. That was fun. Yeah, they should do the I'm a gummy bear theme. That should be the next one. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Darby got cut up on the back pretty bad and then got body slammed into the cage. Woo! Filthy. Filthy. Got body slammed with a chair. I do not expect him to wrestle Wednesday. There's a pile driver on Ospreay that largely took him out, but then he had a big moonsault as well. Ospreay and Mox went into the barbed wire table. Yuta went through the table ringside. That was a big spot. But Gabe Kidd and Darby had one of the most gross table spots I've ever seen. I just hope that Gabe's all right because he landed, got squished down there. Jeff, your super chat did not get, I don't think, got sent there. But if you want to go to humperchats.com, if your super chats aren't working, you can send them over there. But that Gabe Kidd Darby spot was nasty. One of the Bucks got pinned, and this is good. Now, Kenny Omega, we don't know how much he's going to be around. Hiroshi Tanahashi got the pin. I thought that was a nice thank you, Hiroshi Tanahashi, or Horseshoe Tanahashi, as Quizzlemania called him. Kota Ibushi, like, how long is he ever around? And he's in his 40s. And Ospreay's gone. Mox was also checking on Gabe after the match. So the people who are largely going to be around after that are going to be Darby and I guess some of the Death Riders, right? But after this, they very clearly write off Ospreay. And AJ says, hope if I'm ever attacked, my friends don't stand outside the cage looking like morons. Well, I mean, they locked the cage. I don't know if you missed that, but they did lock the cage. Now, they should have just climbed over. He certainly should have just climbed over and got in there, unless I missed something. But this was a very distinct, Ospreay's going to be out a while. Baby faces don't know how to climb. Wrestlers don't know how to climb. It's, Ryan Lambert says, could we see a vengeful Alex Windsor versus Marina Elsa? It showed Marina going, fuck you, Kenny. Okay, it was you just smacking the cage with a kendo stick. I mean, listen. They were hitting the cage. Hey, you gotta compromise. They might kill the man. They might kill the man. Oh, man. It's been a good time. Hey, SRS, how are you doing? How are, your Bengals look good? They looked terrible yesterday, but it was third stringers. Hey, if you're into football, if you're into the Bengals, I've got a fun project called Common Bengals W. I'm on Twitter and I'm on YouTube. But I'll be doing a stream this week and then probably every week for a while. Bit of an announcement. I'm going to have Grand Pooh Bear hosting the episode of the WWE Raw post show when I am in Denver at the end of September. Very excited for that. I'll announce his co-host over the next next couple weeks. But yeah, I want to thank our moderators. I want to thank Rob and Zach and Luis, Jesse for popping in. We love seeing her, Demon Diva as well. I want to thank my team. I want to thank Shirley, who did on-site coverage for us. I want to thank Jeremy, who does a writing team, but like Kyler, Kate, our social team over there as well, did an incredible job getting up a ton of shorts. If you haven't checked it out, we have a ton of shorts over here and on Fightful Scraps. A bunch of you don't even know that we have a clips channel, but we do, Fightful Scraps. I am on Facebook now. I'm over there wading through all the bullshit, like just swimming through it, debunking news, posting stuff, all that good stuff over there. We do still have a couple of super chats, humper chats, and I'm gonna look at some of the details. Actually, I'm gonna have Luis very quickly go through the pertinent scrum notes, because we do have a few more super chats, but I'm gonna send Luis the thread to go through those. But Deck says, we're going into Dynamite without Swerve, Will, and likely most of the team that won the cage match, not wrestling. We need heroes to stand up. We do, because now, like, they just like sort of got that off of the Death Riders, and now there's this looming threat again. Like, look at all this damage that they did. Look at all this pain that they caused, and how it has affected them. I'll give you guys notes from the presser as well. That way, you guys don't have to sit through the whole thing. Mercedes wants a celebration on Dynamite, and Tony agrees. She put over a Bozilla as well. And Mercedes says recently they had the 10-year anniversary of the Brooklyn match, and says that it's more than anything the match that gets her to, it gets people to say that they were inspired by her, so to speak. But there wasn't like a ton of newsworthy stuff there. Kyle Fletcher is up there as well. Doesn't seem like a ton of like newsworthy stuff. He wants to be a fighting champion. Wants to run it back with Kyle O'Reilly, Mark Briscoe, Roddy. And Kyle says that Mark Davis has some of the worst luck when it comes to injuries. Sucks for him as a friend, but he's lucky that Tony Khan saw something in him as well. Kyle was asked if he plans on challenging Okada for the unified title and says no titles off limits. But right now he's focused on the TNT title as well. But Renee calls on Brodito, who come up there as well. And they talk about building their chemistry very quickly. Tony gives Brodito an autographed Raul jersey, which Bandito gets emotional over. I don't understand the significance of such a thing. Brodito is down to face Cope and Christian as well. Listen,
not a ton of newsworthy stuff there. Not a ton of newsworthy stuff. But Tony got up there and talked. And Tony is saying that they're not going to do cash-ins anymore. He wants to maintain the dignity of the sport. Doesn't want big ticket championship matches they can't advertise. Doesn't want to duplicate what other promotions are doing. And yeah, says from now on, these must be executed with 1 week in advance. So that's good. That's good. But yeah, we've got all the pertinent stories will be on Fightful.com. Trevor Dame did a really good job of covering that. Jeff Grayton says, backtracking, hadn't seen the social post saying it was an elimination match. No disrespect, super chat hasn't been working. Oh, it's all good. Listen, buddy, it's okay. We're talking wrestling here. That was faux outrage there. That was just for entertainment purposes only, that rant. Jeff, I appreciate you, and I appreciate all of you who joined us. I want to say thank you all so much. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. It would mean an awful lot. Until next time. We're out.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.